that God is waiting for the slightest opportunity to punish us. And sometimes we do that. Because for some of us, that was the image that we were taught. We were taught maybe that there was a mean God with the eyebrows frowned and the arms crossed, just waiting for the time when you will commit an error and then he will punish us. And sometimes as parents and as deacons and deaconesses or leaders, we, without thinking now, okay, without thinking, we transmit, sometimes we transmit the same message to our children. You know, last time I checked, children have a lot of energy. And sometimes they cannot control this energy. And they get ready for Sabbath school, and in the morning they're full of energy. And they come to church, and you tell them what? You tell them, please. And I don't know how many times we have to tell them, please, no running in church. And you come through the doors, and you set them down, or you let go of their hands, and what do? They run. They run to their Sabbath school. And what has happened many a times, they're running and they trip and they fall and they come back to you crying. And what was the response of some? See, I told you God punished you for running on the Sabbath day. The truth of the matter is this. God, our Father, is not waiting for some of you or for the slightest opportunity to punish us. That is not my God. As a matter of fact, he is watching. He is waiting to see how he could extend his saving grace to us. That is my God. He is watching over us to give us his hand and to save us. And I think that those that will not hear the welcome, come ye blessed of my Father, are going to be the ones that openly fought against the Holy Spirit. Are going to be those that really Christ did everything possible, but they were fighting him. They didn't want Christ in their life. And that's why I think, and I hope I don't contradict Paul, some of you that are really Bible students. I'm not contradicting him, but Paul says that the just will be saved with difficulty. That's what Paul says. My question is, could you imagine if the just are going to be saved with difficulty, how about the unjust? What chance do they have? Now, that is if you consider yourself just. And I think Paul saw it from one angle, and I think some of you might see it from another angle, and maybe I'm just coming from another angle this morning. But after we come to know Christ, Philip, again, congratulations. After we have come to know Christ and we accept him as a personal Savior, I think it's going to be more difficult to be lost than to be saved. I also think that if we believe the other way around, I would have to begin to think that probably, if it's the other way around, then Satan has more power than God does. And last time I read my Bible, God has all the power. So, because you have made a vow with God, you made a covenant with God. Philip, you made a promise. You made a covenant with God today. And some of you have made that covenant maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, 2, 3, whatever it might be. You made that covenant. And brothers and sisters, when you make that covenant with God, you are going to have at your disposal the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the holy angels, and thousands of promises in the Bible that will help you to be victorious in Jesus Christ. You will have that. And as long as you maintain your eyes upon Jesus. Who did I say? Yes, I didn't say your pastor, your elder, your deacon, your deaconesses, didn't I? Or your brother that you think is the most holy one in the church. I did not say that. I said as long as you maintain your eyes on Jesus, you will have the solution to all of your problems. So, he that once was saved and then decides to be lost would have done it only after a battle, an open battle with the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord will try everything possible to save that person. You believe that? Everything possible. And he who gets lost, and this is what First Testimony says. He who gets lost will get lost only after God has done everything possible to try to save him. And I believe that's why this person is going to have a horrible death. Not because God is going to punish him, but because he's going to have to suffer what Jesus Christ suffered for him and what he rejected. Because you see, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he not only died that first death, but he also died that second death for you. And the second death is that death that is eternal. And that is the one that they're going to have to respond for also. The wages of sin is death. That death. There's a parable in the Bible. There's a story that Jesus told that has a lot of meaning to me. And I think it has a lot of meaning to you also. And we're going to go over this story this morning. It is the story that we title The Prodigal Son. Now the story is very simple, but it has many details in it. And I can tell you that we're not going to go through all of the details. But we're going to review some of the things that happened in that story. And the story presents us a father that is very rich, a father that lives in this great ranch, and that man has two sons. And one day the youngest one comes to the father and he simply says, I want my inheritance. I don't know about you, if you had children and you had means and they came to you and asked for their inheritance while you were still living. But in those days, to ask the inheritance while you were still living, it was basically saying, could you roll over and die? But this young man didn't think about that. This young man was thinking about himself, and he came and asked for his inheritance. And the father probably tried to do everything possible to convince him to stay. But it was useless. So the father gave him his portion. Gave him the portion of the inheritance. And now when the young man goes and he prepares himself, and we see him get lost in the cloud of dust. There he goes. He went off full speed on this beautiful, beautiful horse with the clothing of a prince, so to speak. He had silk, he had laces. And that beautiful horse, I would think it was like saying today, the son left on his Rolls Royce. The best that anyone could have at that time. And this young man had with him a fortune, and he had with him a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams. Because, you know, and I was there at that age too, but at that age when we think we're supermen, we see everything with what? Rose-colored glasses. And this is what this man was seeing. You can do anything. I can do anything. And it was this attitude. With this attitude, this young man just took off and went to a different country. And when the dust settles, and when the dust clears, what do we see? We see the father standing there with a broken heart. Father that's not worried about the money, he's worried about his son. And so the son found himself in a different place, a different country, with a lot of money. And that's where the problems began. Because when you have money, it's not very hard to travel. As a matter of fact, when you don't have money, it's kind of hard to travel. Remember some of the vacations that you might have taken because you didn't have money? Yeah, just let's go camping in the backyard. And this young man had all the money, and when he got to that place, all of a sudden he began to have a lot of friends. Lots of friends. The foreigner that arrives from another country with money. And of course there were pretty ladies too, and the whole deal there. I think he was the type of person that would go into a bar and say, look around and just say, drinks for everybody. They're on the house, I'm going to pay for them. And oh, who is he? Hell, he just came from such and such place. Oh, he must be, oh yeah, he has a lot of money. Yeah, and he's just, he became so popular in that place. Very popular. You know what? How easy it is to waste money that you have not worked for. Very easy. And we see this young man and just enjoying himself. Oh, yes, this is the life. Oh, great, look at this. Everything's, oh, wow. He was just having a great time until one day the money ran out. The money ran out. And the story is found there in Luke 15. And you can read it later on this Sabbath afternoon. His money ran out. He spent his last time, his last dime. And with it, when he spent his last dime, with it went all his friends. All those friends that he had had, all the girlfriends, they were all gone. And now he was faced with life's reality. And though even reality struck and he was down there, just slumped down, this spoiled child, this what we would call this spoiled, rotten, rich child, still had something left in him. You know what he had left in him? He had pride. Why? Because he said, how could I return to my father's house now? How could I do that? And he still had something else also. This young man, not only did he have pride, he also had shame. He had shame. Now, theologically speaking, let me tell you, this is what shame is. Self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. And this is where we begin to get a little bit of this theological clash here, because it is the greatest clash of human experience. You have experienced this. If you think about it, you have. Even as Adventists, we have experienced this. It's not easy for me to accept salvation when we have the feeling of responsibility. We have to do something to earn salvation. That's what we think. How could I present myself to God? I have to do something. And because I have to do this, because I deserve to be punished. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And I have to be a certain way before I present myself to God. Now, spiritually speaking, I think that sometimes to accept salvation, we have to be a little bit, or we have to be shameless. Now, don't misunderstand this. I'm speaking here, spiritually speaking, and trying to gain some insights from this story. When someone is shameless, let me give you an example of what shameless is. When someone is shameless, they could knowingly, not unknowingly, but knowingly, they could come to you and they could offend you. Knowingly. And the next day they come to you and they smile at you like nothing has happened. Good morning, Sister A. Or good morning, so-and-so. how are you doing? Knowing very well that yesterday they had offended you. That is being shameless. And I think to be saved or to accept salvation, we have to be a little bit shameless. Why? Because you and I are not going to be saved for what we do. You understand that? We are going to be saved. We're going to have salvation on how much we persist. The book of Revelation says, he who perseveres to the end will be saved. That's what it says. He who perseveres. It says, be faithful unto the end. What do we do sometimes? We look at somebody and say, oh, I don't know how Brother C could always fall into sin. I don't do that. I surely don't do that. Uh-uh. But you know what? Ellen G. White states that that which is nothing for you, for someone else, it could be a very strong temptation for someone else. And let us not forget that all of us have something that we are struggling with. And if you don't, come talk to me after the sermon. I want to know your secret. I want to know what you do. I know we all know what we need to do. I mean, that's not the problem. We all need to get closer to Christ. But the fact of the matter is that we all struggle with something. Now, let's not go to the bad sins, the bad sins, killing, murdering, fornication, adultery. Yeah, no. We all struggle with anger, lust, bad words, envy, resentment, smoking, drink, gossiping. Yeah. Oh, yes, that's also a sin. Gossiping. Pride, you know. And in the presence of God, we cannot say that we are not at fault, because we are. We cannot go to God and say, I'm a perfect man and I deserve salvation. We cannot do that. That is why I pray this morning that God will make us shameless. Why? So that when we sin, we could go back to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I failed you again. But here I am. Because you know what? The Lord rejoices when we come back to Him. He rejoices when you come back to Him. Now, I've said this before, but I don't want you to think, and I don't want you to take a liking to the ground, okay? Because the Bible says that if anyone has sin, there's an advocate. But it is written in such a way that it's for emergency purposes, not just because you're thinking, I'm going to sin because I have the safety net there. No, it says, when you sin, if anyone sins, we have an advocate. And this young man finds himself in this strange country, and the question is, why didn't he just take his horse and return home? Because he had to be shameless. He had lost everything except his shame. And that's the last thing I think we should lose. And yet it should have been the first one so he could return to the Father. He should have returned to the Father. And the Father, what do you think? Would the Father have received him? Absolutely. Absolutely. So here we have this young man. He had this experience. And sometimes we as Christians have that same experience. I have to do something for myself. And what does he begin to do? He begins to look for work. He goes here, he goes there, he tries to find work. But then he goes and he finds a man that has a ranch. He knocks on that door, and that man opens the door and looks at him, and he says, sir, do you have any work for me? Work? Yes, I do. I have some work for you. And this man looks at the young man and he says, he's emaciated, he's thin, he looks tired, and he's wearing all these rags in his clothing, as clothing. But this man could see in this young man, he says, even though he's like that, he still has this look of royalty within himself, which makes this man wonder, can he even work? Now remember this young man, before he got to that state where he went to this door to look for work, he was already trying to do things on his own. He was trying to gain maybe some of the money back that he had lost. He had to, finally, when he didn't find any work, he had to sell his horse. He had to, then he began selling his clothing, the lace, the silk. And then the last thing that he did, this young man did that he shouldn't have done, but he did, he started looking for a pawn shop. Why did he start looking for a pawn shop? Because he needed to pawn his ring. He needed to pawn his liberty. Isn't that what we do as Christians at times? The devil takes us to a place where he makes us pawn our liberty in Jesus Christ. And that's what this young man did. He pawned everything, and now he is here in front of the man asking for work. And the man says, sure, I'll give you work. He was moved to mercy. And he says, I have some animals that you could take care of. And in a fraction of a second, this young man remembers his father's ranch and the beautiful hills and the sheep and the cattle. And he just says, sure, I'll take care of your animals. And the farmer says, sure, the pigs are over there. And this young man just kind of stops in his tracks and he says, what? Yeah, the pigs are over there. I don't know if you comprehend that, but for a Jewish person to go and take care of pigs. I know maybe some of you are not Jewish descendants, but we're all spiritual Jews. But even today, if someone asked you to go take care of pigs, would you do it? Have you ever been around pigs? They are the stinkiest, sloppiest little animals in the face of the earth. I mean, I lived about 100 yards from a dairy. Up here in Grants Pass. I was going to say there in Grants Pass. No, up there in Grants Pass. And boy, when the wind hit just right, and that was a cow farm. Pig farm, you're in a whole different ballgame. You don't want to be 100 miles away from a pig farm. You want to be further. They stink. The pig is a dirty animal that likes to eat everything in sight. Ugh. And this young man started thinking of all the complications, but he said before the farmer changed his mind, he starts running towards the pig, and then the farmer says, wait. Now what does he want? Did he change his mind already so quick? The farmer says, I forgot to tell you something very important. And this young man said, what could that be? And the farmer says, the food that's there, it's only for the pigs, okay? Don't you dare eat any of it, because it is only enough for them. And did you get that? Did you get what the farmer was trying to say to him? The pigs were more important to him than the young man was. And that's what the devil does to us. The devil makes us sin. He takes us to that muck of sin, to the mud, to the dirtiness of sin. But you know what? Let me tell you something this morning. Even from there, God can pull us out. The devil takes us there. He makes us sin. And then he starts piling it on and trying to make us as dirty as possible so we won't be recognized by our Father. But it does not work. God can pull us out. And I like the way the Bible relates this, because I imagine this young man sitting under a tree watching the pigs eat their food. Now, you know what they eat, right? They eat mud, they eat food, they eat feces, they eat saliva, they eat rotten stuff, they eat anything you throw at them. And here we have this young man resting by the trees, wishing that he could eat some of that. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been hungry? I tell you what, I think most of us maybe have been a little hungry. You know that time we skipped a meal and we got really hungry? Or maybe sometime in your life you didn't have food. But I mean, really, really hungry? I tell you what, when you are really, really, really hungry, there is no hesitation. When you are really, really thirsty, it does not matter how the water is, what color it is. It does not matter. You are going to drink it. Now, when you're really, really thirsty, and this young man had reached that point. Here's the thing. Sometimes we do not look for God until we have reached that point. The young man wanted to eat that food. This young man was used to sitting at a table with servants coming all around, with beautiful dishes and with tablecloths. And now he wants to eat the pig's food. It looked so inviting to him. He was so hungry. And then the Word of God says, in Luke chapter 15, the Word of God says, that when this young man found himself in that situation, it was then and only then that he came to himself. If you have your Bibles, open to chapter 15 of Luke. Luke 15. And we'll be looking at verse 17. Luke 15:17 says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" When he came to his mind, he realized that the workers in his father's house were eating a lot better than he was. What came into his mind when he came to himself was not that beautiful table that he used to sit in with all the beautiful dishes and all the beautiful tablecloths. That's not what came into his mind. What came into his mind was the humble table where the daily workers used to go and eat. But you know what? He came to realize that that table was better than what he had now. He realized that it was better to be a laborer in his father's house than a prince taking care of pigs in that faraway country. He came to realize that. And now he starts to do something that he wouldn't have done before. He starts to evaluate his priorities. All right? There was a pastor that visited a lady from the church. And this lady, this is what she said to the pastor. She said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for my son." And mothers, don't stop praying for your sons. This lady said, Pastor, I want you to pray for my son. And for this particular pastor, and I think it's the same with all of us, it is a great joy for us to go and pray for your family, to pray for you. And it's very important for us to pray. But it's also very important for you, mothers, to be praying for your sons. So she had his attention because she wanted the pastor to pray for her son. And she said, please pray for my son. And the pastor said, what do you want me to pray for him specifically? And this is what she said. Oh, pastor, tomorrow he has a business interview, and I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray for him that he may prosper. Because when he prospers, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And he's going to become this and he's going to become that. And the mother that just continued to go he was telling the pastor of everything that the son was going to do. And the pastor said, I'll be glad to pray for him. And that will be a pleasure for me to pray for him. But tell me one thing. And the mother said, yes. How is your son's faith? Oh, well, he left the church a while back. And he's not in following the ways of the Lord right now. So he's really nowhere right now in the relationship with Jesus Christ. But I'm praying for him that someday the Lord will touch his heart and that someday the Lord will bring him back to the church. And then the pastor said this. He said, Sister, I want you to listen to this. I am going to pray for your son, but I am not going to pray for him to have that success in that business. Could you imagine a pastor telling that to a sister? And I'll tell you why he said this. As long as the prodigal son was enjoying his friend, was enjoying his riches, was enjoying everything that he had, he did not think of his father's house. And I will make a bold statement this morning and take it for the good place. If you have sons and daughters that are all from the way of the Lord, if you really care about their spiritual life, maybe what you should be praying for is that the Lord will take them to the pigs as soon as possible. Now, having said that, I am a parent. And I think that would be one of the very difficult prayers to pray. But let me tell you something. As long as your kids are surrounded by friends, a lot of money, and all the pleasures of life, they will not look to the Father's house. Pray for their safety. Pray for their health. But also pray that someday they may look towards the Father's house. And sometimes what that means is that they end up with the pigs really soon. Because it is only when we're out at the pigs sometimes that we come to our senses, that we come to ourselves. And that is when we begin to analyze our priorities in life and the realities of life. And this young man had come to that point to desire the pig's food before he thought of the food in his father's house. Okay? Before he thought about that food, he had to be thinking about that food. So now the son is thinking And then with this in mind, he said, I will get up and go to my father's house. And look at this. Now we start seeing justification by works here. Because he starts saying, how could I return now to my father's house? And all of a sudden, he gets a thought. He gets the genius thought. He says, of course, I can return. I can't return to my father as a son, but I can return as a laborer. And why hadn't I thought of that before? And he left the work. He just didn't go back to get his wages, and he started running back to his father's house. Now, as he's running, the only thing that mattered to him was to reach his father's house. And I could imagine this young man just running, getting tired, sitting down under a tree, and maybe resting in the evenings and continuing to run to the father's house. Now he is longing to return to his father's house. He wants to get home. And there is a difference now. Before he left, full speed, in a beautiful, expensive horse. And now he is returning how? On foot. Before he left his home with money, lots of money. And now he is returning home without a dime in his pocket. He left home with all the beautiful clothing and the perfume and everything else. And now he is returning with the smell of pigs. But listen to this. Before, he had left with pride. And now he is returning humbled and repentant. And that makes a great difference. That makes a great difference. This young man now is returning, trusting not in what he could do, but trusting in the love of the Father that would be willing to accept him, not as a son, but as a laborer. I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to get through. You know why? Because ministry took place this morning, and that's okay. That's okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to finish this later, some other time. But what I do want to say to you this morning is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his Son, that whoever, that is you, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I believe that. Charlie, I forgot to give you my clicker. I think I have it here. I know somebody that could do this for me. We'll sing it 3 times. Just keep clicking, it just keeps going. The son returned to his father's house. And all the time he was thinking, I'm going to go back to my father's house and ask him if I could be a laborer in his house. And the father said, no way. You're still my son. And it did not matter what you did or what you will do. In the story, when the son returned, the father covered him to hide the shame that he was all ragged and dirty. God wants to do the same for us. He wants to make us white as snow. This is not a special music, by the way. I want you to sing with me. White as snow, though my sins be as scarlet. You know what? I'm sorry. They were asking me to do this. And I guess if that one doesn't work, it's on. Guess I can't hear it here. White as snow, white as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood. Through the wonder of your love, through the faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood, through the wonder of your love, through the faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow, though my sins be as scarlet, Lord, I know that I'm clean and forgiven through the power of your blood, through the wonder of your love, through the faith in you, I know that I can be white as snow. Father, I want to thank you for the promise that you've given us. That when we return to you, it does not matter what we have committed. It does not matter what has happened, what we have done. You will accept us and take us back. And you will treat us not as a laborer, but as a son, as a daughter of Jesus Christ. Father, this afternoon I want to pray that the Holy Spirit may continue to guide us, that the Holy Spirit may continue to give us the strength that we need to be able to persevere. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for this promise that though our sins may be as scarlet, bright red, that we could be made white as snow. be with us now during the rest of the Sabbath, and I pray that the Holy Spirit may give us a blessed day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.